Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is May 15th, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and we have a whole lot to get into, so let's not waste any time and do just that.
Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce.
Oh! Dog food! He's covered in dog food!
Very elevated up and over the top of the assistant.
Oh! Oh! Bailey, no! Get down!
Are you kidding me?
You ruined my life! I told you I was going to ruin yours!
I feed my whole family with this title!
All right, you guys, I hope you have all had a great week this week in the middle of May. I am turning a year older in a couple days, so it's all downhill from here. I don't know. Great start to this podcast. Let's be positive today, guys, because I am feeling positive. There was some really hopeful stuff this week that really didn't, you know, go so well in my opinion. So there's a lot to talk about in the low category this week. And I'm excited to get into all of it, but there's also definitely a bunch of really great stuff that went on in wrestling as a whole, so we will talk about that as well. If you're new here, welcome. That's just exactly what we do here on this podcast. We talk about the crappy, we talk about the great, and we don't really talk about much in between, but like I said, if you're new here, welcome. Thank you for choosing the unofficial WWE podcast. Thank you for choosing this podcast specifically, and if you are a returning listener, thank you again, as always. Love doing this. It means I get to keep coming on here and talking to you guys about wrestling. And as you all know, I love nothing more than doing just that. So, like I said, I hope you have all had a wonderful week this week as we roll into WrestleMania Backlash tomorrow, actually, I think. Yes, tomorrow. I'm not that excited, if you guys can tell. I am just anything but enthralled in the WWE product as of late. And you know, kind of not really including SmackDown and NXT. I hate Raw. I hate Raw on this show. Let's just get that out there. But should be an exciting pay-per-view nonetheless. Most pay-per-views tend to do just that because, what do you know, you hire amazing talent like WWE has and they tend to deliver in match quality. So all good stuff going down tomorrow night. And with that being said, if you guys want to email me your thoughts on WrestleMania Backlash, on your thoughts on anything during the week, you can always shoot me an email. It is mimi.realwwepodcast@gmail.com. I always hesitate because I don't know why I can't just memorize that. Don't know why. Just like my social security number, I just can't seem to get that one down. Anyways, you can email me about that, or you can email me about anything. Complaints, whatever you want to talk about, shoot me an email. Sometimes we get it on the show, sometimes we don't, but I've got a bunch of great emails this past week. Some of you talking about how you agree with me about the picture-in-picture stuff, how it's really hard to pay attention, amongst many other topics. So love talking wrestling with you guys. If you don't get on the show, I will definitely make sure I get you an email back either way, because you know, we are a big family, the universe, or wrestling fans, or whatever you want to call us. So always love having more and more people to talk about wrestling with. And that's why we're here. So let's do just that. And I will shut up about all this other stuff. And let's just talk about the low for the week and some other stuff to get into, obviously, in this category. A bunch went on this week, per usual. Raw was pretty bad, per usual. I mean, I don't know about you guys. And before we get into the official low, but I want to talk about this Raw main event real quick. Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. That was a WrestleMania kickoff, right? On night one, not the kickoff show. God, could you imagine? No, that was a WrestleMania, the uproar. Okay, that was the WrestleMania first match, night one. And we got it as a main event on Raw. And which should be a treat, right? Like, that should be exciting stuff. Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre are both super big, talented men. Big guys slapping each other around. Awesome. Here's my issue with this. Is I have no faith in WWE at this point, because I just can't get invested in a match when I know there's not going to be a finish. And what do you know? There wasn't a finish, because here comes Big Braun Strowman, who somehow manages to be PMSing every Monday night and just angry and cranky about the world. Nothing else. I would rather watch paint dry, guys, then watch anything Braun Strowman does on television. I'm sure the man himself is a very great dude. Most of them are, but God, is that, I just, there is no one else in wrestling as a whole that bores me more, I think, than Braun Strowman. At least some of the other people are bad enough where we can just laugh at that, or some stuff in wrestling is so bad it's good. Braun Strowman is just a bore, man. Instead of yelling Braun when he comes out, he should yell bore, because that's all I feel about Braun Strowman. So, like, things like that bug me about stuff like that's on Raw. I can't get invested in a really good match, hopefully, like between Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley, because I know there's not going to be a finish. Already, you know, the minute it's announced, I know there's not going to be a finish. So who cares? What's on the line here? Wins and losses don't matter. We all know Braun Strowman probably isn't winning at WrestleMania Backlash, and if he does, I'm quitting this podcast, because I can't stand talking about Braun Strowman any more than we already do on this show. I'm not getting into the muscle t-shirts, guys. If you've heard me before, I'm not going down that route. We are not going down Braun Strowman man boob route. We're sticking on the straight and narrow here, and we're just going to get into the official low for the week, because you know, a lot of you have accused me, I think, of a little bias as being a mark for AEW. And you know what? I wear that hat proudly. I am a mark for AEW, because they have opened my eyes more and more each week on what a real good pro wrestling show can be. You know, focused around matches, long-term storytelling, all the good stuff. Stuff that makes sense. Very, very few distraction finishes, all that other stuff. Very few false finishes, I guess is what I'm going for. Most matches end in either a tap out or a pinfall, is my point. And things like that, you know, you build a rapport with your fans. So when you have a really crappy show like this week, and not so awesome ending to Blood and Guts last week, like, these things, you know, are forgivable, because for the most part, the product's really awesome. So yeah, guys, I am a mark for AEW, and I'm okay with that. But nonetheless, as I say all that, this week's low is actually going to AEW. So all of you accusing me of bias, ha, I laugh in the face of that. But yes, this week's low is going to AEW, and it is going to the Pinnacle's coronation segment. Because I don't really think I you know, I recorded the AEW Dynamite review show right after the show, and I try to do that so I can get the stuff out to you guys as quick as possible, but the problem with that is a lot of the times I don't let a lot of things sit in. For example, this week, particularly, like that Cody Rhodes promo. When I go back and really look at that, I don't think I was critical enough on that. I think he said a lot of things that didn't need to be said, and I think something like a pro-America promo just doesn't work in 2021 and so unnecessary. So like little things like that, it's kind of hindsight I realize a little bit more. So we'll see. Maybe I'll take a little bit more of a breather before I jump right into the review shows. But this was another thing that I feel like I needed a little more time to soak in to really realize how bad this was. Because again, I don't think I was critical enough about it. So for those of you who are not AEW avid watchers, or for those of you who missed it this week, The Pinnacle is a group led by MJF, including Sean Spears, technically Tully Blanchard, I guess, FTR, and Wardlow. And the Inner Circle is a group that's Chris Jericho at the head of it. And then you got Sammy Guevara, Santana and Ortiz, and Jake Hager. God damn it, Jack Swagger is in my head still. These two guys obviously met last week at Blood and Guts, and this week was supposed to be the Pinnacle coronation. What I expected and what should have happened, in my opinion, this week was the Pinnacle comes out. They looked great. You know, MJF looks like an idiot in his crown and pink suit. It was hilarious. I loved it. They should have came out. MJF should have, you know, cut his scowling MJF promos. You should have never given the microphone to Tully Blanchard. I ripped him a new one enough on that review show. So if you want to hear about that and you haven't, go check that review show out. It's on Patreon, Spotify, all the places you get your podcasts from. So yes, that was bad. No one else talked. And MJF barely really, I mean, MJF cut a B to a C plus promo in MJF standards. So that happens, and then the Inner Circle comes back throughout the promo, or in the middle of the promo, and there's honking, and they drive in this little cart that, you know, says the Inner Circle on a banner behind it, and what do you know, Chris Jericho pops out, he's got a big cast on his arm, apparently his arm is actually injured, guys, that's, I guess, why they're doing the cinematic match, and they challenge them to a rematch, MJF says no, and so what do? They do the beer truck thing of Stone Cold, so Steve Austin, and they spray a little bit of the bubbly all over the Pinnacle, and then the Pinnacle says yes to a rematch, and then we go to Stadium Stampede. That's your quick recap. The problem with this, guys, and the stuff that I didn't really talk about enough on the review show is this. The Inner Circle lost Blood and Guts, right? Chris Jericho got thrown off the top of the cage, and yes, the bump looked really safe. He actually hurt himself, though, so we're all a bunch of, you know...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mean people, jerks, for saying that, you know, oh, it looked safe or whatever, I guess. I don't know. Apparently he actually hurt himself. So that whole thing happens. There's forks. There's terrible blood, guts everywhere. And then what happens to the Inner Circle next week is they just come back. Not even a mark on them besides Jericho's little arm cast thing. Totally no sell Blood and Guts. And then they goat the Pinnacle, I guess, if you want to call it that, into a match at Double or Nothing Stadium Stampede number 2 so they can go cinematic. And I said this on the review show. I don't know about you guys. I'm not paying for a show that at least a half an hour of it is going to be allotted to a screen that I could watch at home. I'm not going to that show. Sorry. Like, that just seems silly to me. And not to mention, like I said on the review show as well, it is their first live full crowd Jacksonville show. They're going to have 5,500 something people there. Full seats. Everybody's, you know, what am I trying to say here? Full arena of people again. And they're going to do a cinematic match? That just doesn't seem... Maybe there's a plan here I don't get. And again, I know Chris Jericho's actually injured, so I guess that part does make sense, but... All in all, guys, the real problem was with this was, one, the champagne thing was cheap, and maybe it would have been okay if they were ripping off the beer truck thing, if something that actually worked and the show that was actually pretty good, because this past week was not very good. But why were the Inner Circle back so quickly? You just totally no-sold Blood and Guts, which is a match. If you want to do it again, I don't know about you guys. I'm not taking it so seriously next time because, one, the cage thing's debunked because they all went out of the cage. The minute Chris Jericho and MJF climbed on the top of the cage there, the blood and guts lost a lot of its meaning to me. And then, two, the guys who lost are fine next week. In fact, the guys who won are even fine. No one sold blood and guts. It's been 7 days. Like, not even, like, you couldn't have put, like, a Band-Aid on. Just, like, a little Band-Aid on the forehead. Something to show that, oh, we were in a brutal battle last week on either side. So that problem, big problem number one, cheesy beer truck thing, I let him get away with it, but really just didn't work for the timing because, again, why were they even back in the first place? And then the big issue with all this is the best thing about AEW is the unscripted promos and that the wrestlers get a lot of freedom to do what they want to do and their characters and all that other stuff. All that's great, right? And, you know, we all know at the top of all of those people are probably the Kenny Omegas and the Cody Rhodes and the Chris Jerichos, who probably have the most creative freedom, John Moxley's. But when you have this amount of creative freedom, and I almost wanted to make like a Hulk Hogan WCW reference, but that's not even close. I'm not even going to go there. But when you have this amount of creative freedom, like Chris Jericho did, this has Chris Jericho written all over it. And so I don't think Tony Khan is the mastermind behind this. I think this is Chris Jericho, because I think Chris Jericho is just a little too Chris Jericho for his own good sometimes. Chris Jericho is the master. If you listen to the Stone Cold podcast, he talked about how he ripped his debut on Raw when The Rock was out and he's facing another way. He ripped that off of Michael Jackson. Like, he is good at taking these things that have happened, whether it's in wrestling or not in wrestling, and using them to his character in whatever way. This was just flat out, there was no creativity behind it, I guess. It was just like, we all knew what the ripoff was of it, and it didn't work. I don't know how else to put it in other words than that. It just didn't work. So moving on from that, guys, that's my low for the week. I have faith that the Stadium Stampede thing is going to be good, but even the Stadium Stampede thing undersells blood and guts. Stadium Stampede was fun for its time, a cinematic match, whatever. Blood and guts should have been the end all be all. You know, and if you wanted to start with the finale and then go towards stuff that was, you know, a little less gory and violent and all that stuff, I would have gone for like the one-on-one matches or the two-on-two matches or something like this. But this has Chris Jericho's name all over it. Like I said, guys, I mean, look at look no further than the Cody Rhodes promo. That was all him. You could tell. I bet nobody had the balls to tell him, Cody, maybe you shouldn't go out and be all American like that. Probably isn't the time for that. But he's Cody Rhodes, so are you really going to tell him no? So little things like that. Again, I think the pros totally outweigh the cons in like two bad segments on AEW versus like all the great unscripted promos we get from Jon Moxley and everybody else, MJF most of the time, all this stuff. The pros outweigh the cons, but this is the dark side, no pun intended. If you guys have been watching that, by the way, totally recommend The Dark Side of the Ring. Really good stuff. But this is the dark side of, if your wrestlers are allowed to have this much creative freedom, sometimes the guys who have the most creative freedom can go unchecked and things like this can happen. So that's my thoughts on all that. That's your official low for the week, guys. AEW, I am unbiased. Ha. All right, let's move on to some of the good stuff this week and get into our high for the week. So before we get into the official high for the week, I do want to quickly mention this, and I'll probably say it again on the review show coming up this week on Thursday or Wednesday night on the AEW Dynamite show, review show we do here, I do here. Orange Cassidy versus Pac. As I struggled to say Pac's name like 5 times, I remember that morbidly. Orange Cassidy versus Pac. I obviously, like I said before, you know, when I review things right after the show, the news doesn't come out right away and I don't see things. But I obviously did see later on the next day or Thursday morning that Orange Cassidy had actually been knocked out and injured himself. So that is why the match ended the way it did, not because that was the original plan. So I would like to retract my statement about all that stuff. I think it's really hard to criticize anything that was done on the fly, you know. booking on the fly like that is not an easy job. Do I think they could have come up with something better? Probably. But obviously the health and the safety of the wrestlers always comes first. So I do want to quickly mention that, you know, I learned about the fact that Orange Cassidy was knocked out and the original plan was to go to the 20-minute draw that I had actually booked, would have been a better idea. And that the Kenny Omega interference thing was just a call on the fly. So I want to throw that out there, you know, they did the best they could with the situation they had. And again, sounds like Orange Cassidy is okay, but always in keeping with the wrestler's safety as top priority. I think that was probably the best move that they could have done safety-wise, booking-wise. Maybe they could have come up with something better, executed a little bit better. But again, it's hard to criticize anything that that you have to call on the fly like that. So wanted to mention that real quick. And in the same vein, also, you know, talking about highs of the week or the good stuff of the week, I really like that match on Raw between Humberto Carrillo and Sheamus. Obviously, again, really tough thing, a really tough spot that Humberto got injured. I think actually in the same vein as Orange Cassidy got injured, or at least similarly, powerbomb-y stuff, sunset powerbomb-y stuff. It sounds like Humberto was okay as well from what I hear. Maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong about that, but just sad, you know. It's nice to see Humberto on TV again. Super talented guy. He looks like he aged about 5 years. He doesn't look like a little kid anymore, which is a really good, I don't know, he should give some notes to Dominic Mysterio maybe. I'm looking forward to what they do next with that. Hopefully they don't just scrap it because he got injured. Hopefully they continue to give him a shot because I think he's a really talented guy and there's a lot of potential there in that feud. I think Sheamus is doing a great job at what they're telling him to do. He is executing the chicken, you know what, as best as he can. So let me just throw that out there. And then, guys, for your official high for the week, I'm going, you know, I don't want to call it simple, but I guess simple is the best way to put it. Simple booking, at least, to NXT. Again, 2 weeks in a row, the main event of NXT is taking my high for the week. And that was Santos Escobar versus Kushida, who was the Cruiserweight champion, in a 2 out of 3 falls match. And this was really fun stuff, obviously. I mean, you've got two of some of the most talented wrestlers in the world in Santos Escobar and Kushida. I don't think that's a hot take. And this was just like there were, of course, the wrestling was phenomenal and a lot of great maneuvers and stuff like that. And like I said, they're both incredible. But Kushida and Santos Escobar didn't need to do any more than that. Just be talented wrestlers. There didn't need to be shock booking or anything like that. Like, the perfect way for a 2 out of 3 falls match to go is the heel gets the first fall, unless it's like a disqualification thing where the heel hits the baby face with a chair and then gets the next fall or whatever it is, but and gets the advantage. But the heel gets the first fall, baby face gets the second, and you go to the third. Or heel maybe 1, 2, 3. Excuse me, 1, 2. That's kind of my thinking on the best way to have a 2 out of 3 falls match. And that's exactly what they did. They didn't need to do anything fancy or fun here. Not fun. Fancy or different just to be different. Like, they just stuck with the good formula. And sometimes that ends up making the best matches. Most of the time it does. And that's exactly what this was. You know, Santos Escobar got the first fall in a great phantom driver. Pin was a little bit funky, but who cares about that? And then it still looked good nonetheless. And then Kushida gets the second fall and an armbar. You know, Santos Escobar is a smart heel. He taps out right away because why would you sit in an armbar that looked brutal when it's a 2 out of 3 falls match? So that made sense. And then the third fall, just Kushida going after and after and after the arm. Kushida is such a good, you know, like, hone in on the body part wrestler, if that makes sense. He just does such a good job at making this whole thing believable, like an actual simulated sport. So Kushida's such a fun wrestler to watch. So this match was great. I really enjoyed this. It was fun. It had my attention the whole time. It was fast-paced, but not too fast. It was, you know, there were some high-flying spots, but not too much. It wasn't too flippy-dippy. It kind of had the perfect amount of ground wrestling and high-flying and fast-paced and also slowed down at certain points. I just enjoyed my experience overall watching this match. I was sports entertained, guys. So I really love this. I thought, like I said, they just stuck to a standard formula, and that's sometimes just what the best thing to do is. And like I said, not even sometimes, most of the time what the best thing to do is just stick to the standard formula that works. And when you have wrestlers like NXT has, again, some of the most talented wrestlers in the world, what do you know? They put on a phenomenal match and a phenomenal main event. So,
with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All that being said, guys, I think this whole feud right now is adding a lot of great prestige to the Cruiserweight title, which doesn't have a lot, just because what is the Cruiserweight division? I know you got to be 205 and under, but I don't. Who's in the Cruiserweight division? Who's technically a Cruiserweight? So I don't know. I guess that would be nice to be a little bit more defined. But all in all, guys, I think this is adding more prestige to that. I think Santos Escobar wins upwards, and maybe we start seeing him go into a feud with someone else just outside of the Cruiserweight picture. Obviously, he's been in that for like over a year now, I think. So that would be nice to see. Santos Escobar is great on the mic for, you know, WWE standards, great in the ring, definitely a really good talent who just hasn't kind of hit his peak yet. And I wonder if that'll happen once he's kind of moved on from this whole Cruiserweight thing. Also, super simple thing that they did too that I really liked was in the beginning of the match. MSK comes out. Okay, you have a babyface team that last week you introduced to us that are friendly or friends with Kushida. So we see the backstage world kind of coming together a little bit. So when, you know, Legado del Fantasma tries to interfere right in the beginning of the match, MSK comes out. Of course, MSK also had a great match on NXT. That was another high point for the week, but they come out right away, flippy dippy stuff, take him out, exciting, and then Legado del Fantasma is out of the picture, so we just get a nice 2 out of 3 falls match with these two guys. Execution perfectly done with taking the outside issues out of the match right away. You introduced the fact that MSK and Kushida were friends last week, so we believe why MSK is coming out. They're not just because babyfaces love babyfaces and they're all friends behind the scenes. No, like you introduced the relationship. That's the word I'm looking for. They introduced the relationship last week, and therefore it makes more sense this week why that whole thing would have happened. And again, on top of that, right, more good stuff. You've got this whole great feud going on with Legado del Fantasma and MSK. So you had another layer in this match of just simple, great booking, guys. It can be this easy. It can be this simple. And NXT gets, you know, a tip of the hat this week for doing just that. I really like this stuff. And if you didn't see the match, like I always say, if you hadn't seen this match, go watch it. You're missing out because this was a really good one. I know a lot of you only really get to watch Raw and SmackDown. And why would you just do that? If you have only two shows that you can watch on a weekly basis, NXT and AEW are your ways to go. I take that back. SmackDown's pretty good. I go back and forth with NXT or SmackDown. But SmackDown was really enjoyable this week too. Side note, just want to throw that out there. I actually, although it was another, you know, false finish, I really liked the ending to SmackDown as well. So looking forward to WrestleMania Backlash coming up with the Cesaro Roman Reigns stuff. That's about the only match I'm looking forward to. They failed to really build a story unless you want to talk about this week. It was okayly done. Satisfactorily, is that a word? I'm going with it, guys. Satisfactorily done between Bayley and Bianca, but whatever. Who's next? Because there's no, they have built no one up on the women's division. Really am waiting for Reckoning from Retribution, Mia Yim, to debut on SmackDown. Apparently she got traded to SmackDown, still hasn't happened. Where's Carmella? I want you guys to know that the women barely get any time on SmackDown. I think this is the most amount of time the women's division has been allotted on SmackDown in months. We're talking about since 2020. So not so great stuff going on there. But the main event picture on SmackDown looks great. And when that happens, a lot of that just trickles down into the rest of the card. Confused why this Intercontinental title picture stuff isn't happening this Sunday, but whatever, I guess, because TV matters more than pay-per-view. You guys have heard me talk about that before. And I'm going on a completely weird side tangent, so I'm going to wrap it all up right now with a pretty little bow and give you guys your random match recommendation of the week, which is none other than... I'm switching up on you guys this time. I'm giving you an AEW random match recommendation because I know I usually stick to WWE. We're going Cody Rhodes versus Darby Allin for the TNT title at Full Gear in November, November 7th of 2020. To celebrate the loss of the TNT title via Miro, this week on AEW. Go check that match out, guys. Again, November 7th, 2020, Darby Allin versus Cody Rhodes for the TNT title. Great stuff. And that's your random match recommendation for the week. And that is all from me. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. I hope you enjoy WrestleMania Backlash. I'm sure we will get into plenty of it next week on the highs and lows in wrestling. So, like I said, guys, that's all from me, and I will talk to you next time.